morning, everyone. Thank you for coming. I promised you guys a testimony this morning, and I want to thank everyone that waited for the week to get the testimony. I'm excited to give it. I was driving in this morning, and I was just thinking about how much the Lord has partnered with us in this space. And maybe you don't think about it, but I think about it. You know, probably 6 to 8 months ago, I went from driving a minivan at 14 miles to the gallon to driving a little Ford Focus at like 28 miles to the gallon. And, you know, I'm driving quite a ways to get here. And I was like, oh, Lord, you have your hand in that. And for those of you that don't know, we got a really great deal on a friend's grandmother's car. And it was the first time in years that I had paid money for a car, and maybe 7 days later somebody put a dent in the back and the insurance company gave me all the money I paid and a few $100 more, and I have a dent in my trunk. So at some point I'll get down to the junkyard and switch the trunk out, but I'm not worried about that at the moment. So, you know, I got into this car. It's real low mileage. It can take all the miles coming here and back. And also I passed this gas station, and it's really odd because it's 30 cents cheaper than everywhere else. So I go with that, and I think, wow, Lord, you're really in all these little details that I'm not thinking about, you know? And, one of the things that came up, you guys know, we've been working through the debt from the building that was purchased 10 years ago that didn't pan out. And probably 8 or 9 months ago, another church said, hey, we know you guys have that debt, and we want to sow $2,000 into that debt. And so they, just went down to Univest and made a payment. And that was great. And that church had some of you have heard me say this, that church was operating at a $20,000-some-odd deficit for their budget that year. And they decided to give us $2,000. And that very next Sunday, someone came into their church, and wrote them a check for their exact deficit down to the dollar. So it wasn't like they had an announcement. That person came to church with that much money to give. So them sowing into us released something for them immediately. And what we found is they'd also release something for us, because not too much longer, and we're just putting these pieces together, not too much longer, someone that goes here felt like they needed to sow $2,000. And there was a little bit of discussion about their $2,000 if we should run a matching thing to, you know, get other people to give, and then we'd have $4,000 to pay towards the debt. And after I prayed about it, I just felt like, no, we're not going to do that. It puts too much focus on the debt. And so what ended up happening is God had his own matching plan. So Tiffany remembered that Rock had made a deposit to Pico before we moved in there. Now, we have PP&L here, so we're not doing business with Pico at the moment. And so she called them up, just kind of on a, I think we paid a deposit, and turns out we paid them $2,000. So they gave us a $2,000 check for our deposit, and we put that towards the debt. So you guys see there's three $2,000, right? Three of them. And so not last week, but the week before, one of Kat's clients, now she's doing reflexology in the office a few days during the week, and one of her clients is like, I have this friend that needs to tithe. Will you guys take their tithe? And she's like, I'll talk to my husband. And I'm like, yeah, let me pray about that. Yeah, we'll take it. And so, you know, I did go before the Lord and say, hey, do you want me to not do this? Because you have to tell me, because otherwise I'm going for it. And so that person came in a week ago, and they gave Kathy an envelope full of cash and said, hey, you know, this is my friend's tithe, and we want to give it to the church. And she's like, well, I need information because we can give you a tax receipt or whatever. And they're like, no, we don't want a paper trail. And so Kathy opens up the envelope. Does anybody? Yeah, I don't know what they do, but they don't want a paper trail. It's probably just an angel. Who knows? Anyway, so Kathy opens up the envelope, and there's $2,000 in it. Wow. So we put that towards the debt. And so as of now, we only owe $700. And so by next month, that will be paid, and that is way early because God partnered with us. And so just be real. I'll have to do the math. I don't remember what's the original loan payoff date? We'll have to go look, you know, but we're early.
Yeah, we're like a year early.
We're like a year early. So,
how cool is that?
And we've been making smaller payments, and God's been making bigger payments. It's been awesome. So, you know, as we're changing and growing and relaunching, but just keep in mind how much God has partnered with us, like the space and with like the miracle money, like people have moved on and I believe the Lord's moving them into what he has for them. And it's always sad when people leave and people have been moving on, but like we're able to pay things faster. It doesn't make sense in the natural, but God is partnering with us. So I'm going to take the offering this morning. Don't see that as a big squeeze, but see that as like, hey, we're fertile soil. We want to be a people that sow into what God is doing and, just be encouraged that God is providing what we need. You know, during the communion time and during worship, I was just feeling like there's such an atmosphere of fear. And I feel like, you know, when we worship and we release our trust in Jesus, we almost counter that. And I feel like one of the things I heard was like, you know, Lord, come get the reward of your suffering here, you know, and that's the people out there. So we're gearing up. We're working towards that. We're establishing who we are. There's a whole gambit of people that go to the senior center right next door that we can bring in a few of them and we'll start reaching the neighborhood around us, coming into the new year. But just, I'm so excited that, I mean, God didn't bring us here, for no reason. And he hasn't partnered with us for no reason. Some of this stuff could be simply because he loves us, which is cool. But there's a reason and a purpose for why we're here. So if you brought something to give, just hold it in your hand. I'm going to pray. So Father, we thank you for the ability to sow into what you're doing here, to partner with you. And we thank you for the way that you've partnered with us. We're so grateful, Lord, to be in a position to journey with you and see this community change and to change and to grow closer to you along the way. And we pray right now, Lord, that you would provide for every need for everyone that's giving. And Lord, we thank you that you partner with us in this place and that you're bringing provision in for what we need to do. We thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So the announcements are real simple this morning. If you've not taken the time to review us on Google, please do that. I want to thank those of you that have, and the people that have done it twice. We appreciate that. Not looking at anybody. So anyway, Dave's going to come up and bring the word. The other thing I just wanted to ask, look at me fixing stuff and pretending you're not watching me. I just wanted to ask you guys and remind you guys to be finding fuel. You know, last week we did talk about, you know, hot or cold or why does it seem like that sometimes we're totally on fire and excited about what God's doing and other times we're not. And it's because we're not fueling the fire. So just keep that in mind. Come on up, Dave.
So good morning again. So glad you could all be here with us. I want to, this morning, go in maybe a little bit of a different direction than a lot of the things we've been kind of focusing on, but I think it does also tie in. And I want to then continue to look at what Jesus said regarding the communion that we just celebrated together. And Jesus said that the cup was the new covenant in his blood. And I think it's important for us then to really understand what a covenant is and what that new covenant in particular is and means to us. So a covenant, if you look up the definition, it's defined as a testament or a will. And I always like when the dictionary says a covenant is a covenant. So it says it's a testament, a will, or a covenant. And a covenant, it can be between two parties. And that would be like a contract or like a marriage covenant. Like a will, it could also be between one person and a number of other people. But one of the things that's the same, whether it's between two parties or a number of people, is that it's a set agreement having complete terms determined by the initiating party. And then those terms, it says, which are also fully affirmed by the one entering into the agreement. So Jesus, in this case, is the initiating party. And we, everyone who affirms the agreement, are the ones that enter into it. But that also means then that if we don't affirm the covenant, we don't enter into it. So Jesus initiated a new covenant, and let's understand then what in the reference what the old covenant or covenants were. There's a number of them in the Bible, and I found a resource that was online. And the first one then that it describes is the covenant of works. And that's a conditional covenant. And God made that conditional covenant with Adam in the garden. A covenant of works was the, if you will, I will. And then the second covenant is an unconditional covenant. And that's the covenant of grace. And it's not the grace that we know, or not only the grace that we know under the new covenant. It's not the new covenant. The covenant of grace initially was still what God did in Genesis. The grace was that He made a way. He showed a way. He promised a way. He said that He promised that a Savior would come and crush the head of the serpent. The covenant of grace goes all the way back to Genesis. And then there's a couple others. There's the covenant with Noah, where God promised never to destroy the earth by a flood again. There's the covenant of Abraham, one that we're fairly familiar with. That was an unconditional covenant in the promise that in Abraham, all of the families of the earth would be blessed. But that blessing didn't come through the natural lineage. That also was through Jesus. And then there's the Mosaic covenant. Again, one that we're familiar with. It's the one that is often referred to as the law. And again, it was a covenant that focused on, if you do this, I will do this. In God's words, He talks about a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you're obedient, the curse if you disobey. The covenant's extremely important to us because one of the things it does is it shows the nation of Israel and ourselves that it was impossible for man to keep God's law perfectly. So it provided the necessity for Christ to come, the perfect Son of Israel who would obey God. The once and for all sacrifice for sin. Then there's the Davidic covenant. That's also an unconditional covenant. God promised that through David there would be somebody always to sit on His throne. And so they trace the natural lineage, but if you look at the sons and the kings that followed David in his line, you'll see that some were good and some were bad. Some were extremely bad. So even though God kept that promise and He kept somebody on the throne, this too, the Davidic covenant, is a reference to Jesus, the true and faithful Son, the one who's on the everlasting throne. And then we come to the new covenant, which the resource says is an unconditional covenant. The new covenant ushered in the new creation. This covenant is new in relationship to the old Mosaic covenant, but both are part of the Abrahamic covenant. Covenant. While Moses was the mediator of the old covenant between God and the nation of Israel, Christ is the mediator of the new covenant between God and believers through His finished work of redemption in His life and the resurrection. So what does this new covenant mean for us personally? While the covenant requires faith in Christ, the faith itself is a gift from God. So that's why it's an unconditional covenant. And then the final covenant that they talk about is the covenant of redemption. And what's important in that is that it's not a promise between God and us, but the true covenant of redemption, without the covenant of redemption, the only other covenant that would really apply would be the covenant of works. But the covenant of redemption was really established before creation. The covenant of redemption is a pact between the Trinity, which the Father sends the Son to do the work of redemption. The Son submits to the Father's will, and the Holy Spirit applies the benefits of the Son's accomplished work to believers. As a reward for his obedience, the Father gifts the Son with glory and an everlasting kingdom. So the covenant of redemption is the covenant, the arrangement that was made between God the Father, Jesus his Son, and the Holy Spirit. It affects us tremendously. If the persons of the Trinity didn't make that pact and keep it, we would all be under the condemnation without any hope for meeting his holy standards. So, that's just a very quick overview. We could spend weeks in any one of those covenants. But according to that resource, the new covenant is an unconditional covenant. But is it really? On the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." So he did do all that needs to be done to provide all the benefits of the new covenant. But we have to look at, is there nothing that we need to do to enter into that agreement? And what we've already seen is that a covenant has to be affirmed by the party or the parties that enter into and receive the benefit. In John 3:16, very familiar, says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." In Romans 10, 9 and 11, it says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame." So even though the work is completed, the finished work of the cross completes and accomplished everything that needs to be done for the covenant promises, to enter into it, we have to believe and confess that Jesus is Lord. So those are conditions that are necessary to receive the benefits of the new covenant. We affirm our part of the covenant by belief and confession. So is there anything else that we have to do? Are there any other conditions that we have to meet in order to enter into the unconditional new covenant of grace? In Matthew 7, 21 to 23, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" So even though there's people that will call on the name of the Lord, they'll declare that he is Lord. They'll have evidence of the power of the covenant working in their lives. They'll be prophesying. They'll be performing miracles. They have the appearance of the fullness of the covenant, but they're not going to enter into the kingdom because they practice lawlessness. So they don't have the fullness of the covenant. In John 14, 15, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So just as it was for Adam and Eve in the initial covenant, just as it was for the nation of Israel under the Mosaic covenant, obedience to God is a condition or a requirement if we want to walk in the fullness of the unconditional new covenant. In Matthew 5, 17 to 20, Jesus says, "Think not that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But he who does them and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So it would seem that righteousness is also a condition for entering into the fullness of the new covenant. Now, the good news for us is that under the new covenant, it's not our own righteousness, but it's the righteousness of Christ. He provides the righteousness that we need. 2 Corinthians 5:19-21 says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus said that the cup was the new covenant in his blood. But it's important that we recognize and that we understand that the new covenants were not done away with. He didn't abolish them. God's word never changes. In Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should change his mind. Does he not speak and not act? Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Jesus didn't abolish or put an end to the previous covenants. He fulfilled them. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is the fulfillment of every one of those covenants, both the conditional and unconditional covenants. He is the way to all the promises of God. And it's important, again, that to participate in the covenant, we have to affirm the covenant. So those who don't affirm the new covenant then are subject to the conditions and the terms of the previous covenants, because they're still in force. They still hold true. They still apply. God didn't put an end to those. Because Jesus is the fulfillment and not the replacement of those previous covenants. Those who don't affirm the new covenant are subject to those terms and conditions. You know, we've been talking a lot the last few weeks, the last several weeks, maybe months, about being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And you know, that too is a condition of the new covenant. Not in as much as something we have to do, but it's a condition that happens to us as we walk in the new covenant. That we continue in mind renovation and life transformation as we walk in the covenant. Ephesians 2:8-10 says, by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. You know, we're not transformed. We're not giving the benefits of the new covenant, the power of the new covenant, just for our own benefit. It's not just for us. It's not just so that we can have more or better, but it's so that we can walk in the good works that God prepared for us. The great thing, though, that as we do it, is it just keeps building. The more we walk in the good works, the more we're transformed. Romans 8:28-30 says, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. God uses everything that happens in our lives. All the good things, all the things that we do right, And unfortunately, all the difficult things, all the things that are hard, and even the mistakes that we make, he uses them to transform and conform us to the image of Christ his Son. All so that we might walk in the fullness of his covenant. So in closing, we've been given all the promises of God in that new covenant. Because the new covenant is the fulfillment of every other covenant God made with people. It's fully accomplished in the finished work of the cross. And it's sealed by the Father in the resurrection. We need to affirm that covenant. We need to believe and confess. We need to walk in Christ's righteousness, continuing to be transformed and conformed to his image. The greatest thing for us is that Jesus is not just the initiator of the new covenant. And he's not just the mediator of the new covenant, but he's also the facilitator of the new covenant. In Matthew 11, 28 and 30, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And in John 14, 12 to 14, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." So if we'll walk yoked to Jesus, walking in the fullness of the new covenant promises that he provides, it really becomes easy to do the work because Jesus is the one that's doing it. It's already accomplished in him. Today, as we leave this place, this week, as you walk in the world, in your workplace, in your homes, in your neighborhoods, in the grocery store, remember what you did this morning in remembrance of him. Remember that you proclaimed his death and his resurrection. Remember that you affirmed the covenant that he initiated. And then walk in the fullness of the promises he made to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, for the new covenant. The culmination and the fulfillment of every promise God has made. We thank you, Lord, that it's finished, that you accomplished it all. And all we need to do is affirm, confess and believe all that you did for us. You provide the way. You provide the righteousness. And you provide the power. We thank you, Lord God. Help us to walk as you call us to walk. To be lights in the darkness of this world. To be salt and preserve your holiness and your righteousness and your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed and walk in his power as well.